Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the standoff in Wisconsin for what it means for workers and taxpayers. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. I would now like to turn the conference over to Ms. Megan Smith. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much, operator. As many of you know, the Capitol building in Madison, Wisconsin is the scene of a standoff between workers standing up for a democratic process and good middle-class jobs, and the governor, who is choosing to pursue his own radical political agenda. Governor Scott Walker and his fellow Republicans are aiming to strip workers of their voice and their right to negotiate for their working conditions, wages, and benefits. Talking about these issues today, we have David Madland, who is the director of the American Worker Project at the Center for American Progress Action Fund, and Scott Ross, the executive director of One Wisconsin Now. As a quick reminder, this phone call is being recorded, and by being on the line, you do consent to that recording. And similarly, any questions you ask may be recorded as well. At this point, I'll turn it over to David Madland.
Thanks, Megan. So I think the only way to understand what's happening in Wisconsin right now is that it's about politics, not about policy. Governor Scott Walker's using pretext of a budget crisis to attack the rights of workers to collectively bargain and thereby go after a political opponent. This basic right to negotiate with your employer on relatively equal footing has nothing to do with Wisconsin's budget crisis or with the budget crisis in many other states where the same basic dynamic is taking place, that Republicans in power are going after public sector workers' right to collectively bargain. Ohio, Indiana, Idaho, Tennessee, Nebraska, Florida, Michigan, all the same basic dynamic is happening. The budget problems in many states, not Wisconsin so much, but are real. But the public sector workers and collective bargaining is not the problem. Workers have already borne significant cutbacks and will have to accept what more probably. But, you know, what's going on in the recession is the real cause of budget problems in states. Budget problems are happening in all states, regardless of whether they have strong public sector unions or not. Texas, Louisiana, South Carolina have some of the largest budget shortfalls. Compensation for public sector workers is less than the private sector counterparts. So it's not that. They're already taking huge hits. Over 400,000 state and local employees have lost their jobs since 2008. Every state, there's been huge cutbacks in pay and benefits also, often with furloughs. So it's not really about budget problems. It's about attacking unions, which are often a political opponent of Republicans who are going after them. Public sector unions are not newly powerful or something. They're exactly the same unionization rate today as it was 30 years ago for public sector. So there's no new problem. It's just that the Republicans have seen an opportunity to use this budget crisis and the public's anger over the state of the economy to go after an opponent. I think that's the only way to understand it. With that, I'll turn it over back to Megan.
Thanks so much, David. And let's go out. I believe, Scott, you're out in Madison today. You're on the ground with folks who are out there protesting.
Yes. Our office at One Wisconsin Now is located two blocks from the Capitol. And so we have seen for the last 5 days an amazing stream of people going in and out of the Capitol. The activism is it's really unprecedented. Even for a city like Madison, which has a very proud, strong tradition of standing up against policies that hurt the people of Wisconsin. Make no mistake about this. This is a false fiscal crisis. There was a January 31st, 2011 memo released by the Nonpartisan Legislative Fiscal Bureau, which is Wisconsin's state analysis office. And they said that the state would actually finish the fiscal year of June. We have a fiscal year that ends on June 30th. With a $56 million surplus, okay? So when we start talking about why this is happening, it is pure partisan politics by the governor, and his scheme is nothing more than allowing the government to take away the rights of its citizens. I will point out that Governor Walker has refused to even meet with public employees. This is something that Republican and Democratic governors have done in good faith for the past half century in our state. And public employees not only took a 3% pay cut, the last time during the last budget negotiations, but they offered $100 million in concessions, and Governor Walker refused simply flat out to even meet with them. I will say that what we're seeing in Wisconsin is a microcosm for the nation. In the first month of his of being in office with a newly minted Republican legislature, Governor Walker pushed through $140 million in special interest spending that doesn't create one job in the state of Wisconsin. So if there inference that we're going to be short of tax funds, it is precisely because Governor Walker and the legislature is going down the failed path of tax cuts that benefit corporations and the wealthiest among us at the expense of the vast middle class and those most in need, particularly here in the state of Wisconsin. I will wrap up this part of things by saying curtailing the collective bargaining rights of workers in Wisconsin will not create a single job. And, you know, from every state across the nation, what we heard was that conservatives and Republicans were promising to create jobs. And here in Wisconsin, we have seen that in just over a month and a half in office, they have failed on this account and continued the same old failed trickle-down politics that have put us at risk time and time again. If I can just add one last thing. Here is proof positive that this is nothing more than the hardest of hardcore partisan politics. The governor was supposed to, this coming Tuesday, release his actual biennial budget for 2011-2013 for the state of Wisconsin. And now he has asked it to be delayed until March 1st. Now, let's not kid ourselves. At this point in the budget cycle, all the final budgetary decisions would have been already made, the legislative language would have already been drafted by our Legislative Reference Bureau, and the supporting materials would be on the way to the printers. The only reason for a delay at this point is to prevent the media and the public from learning the alarming details of his budget. And we have seen, you know, just a smattering of things that have come out already, including the idea that he wants to cut $900 million from public schools and privatize the University of Wisconsin and raise tuition by 20%. So it is our belief that he has flinched in the face of this statewide mobilization, this unprecedented mobilization, not just here in Madison, but in every part of Wisconsin. I think we had at least 60 to 75 events in cities all around Wisconsin with people saying no. They're standing up for the working people of Wisconsin. They're standing up for our priorities of education, health care, and making sure that our public employees are provided with the respect they deserve. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much, Scott. At this point, operator, let's open the line for questions from media.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1. Your first question comes from the line of Michael Warren with the Weekly Standard.
Michael Warren from the Weekly Standard. I'm just curious, Democratic State Senator Lena Taylor has compared what Scott Walker is doing to Adolf Hitler, and that you've seen some of that from some of the protesters in Madison. Is there a place for calling Scott Walker and his policies, you know, Hitler, Hitlerian, and those sorts of things?
No, there's not.
Yeah, I have to say I'm here on the ground,
right.
and I have seen probably over the last, you know, if you think about the way this is built, we had 2,000 people here on Monday, between 13,000 and 15,000 on Tuesday, 30,000 on Wednesday, more than that yesterday, and today on this very sunny day in Madison, Wisconsin, there may be 50,000 people up at the Capitol, and I have seen a smattering, you know, an infinitesimal amount of hyperbole. And what you're describing, the people of Wisconsin are committed. They are good, hardworking, honest Midwestern people with Midwestern values, and they believe this fight is about protecting the rights of people in the state of Wisconsin because our priorities are too important.
I mean, you did have a Democratic state senator say this as well. I mean, it's a, you know, that's a pretty prominent you know, person in Wisconsin politics saying that. I mean, do you? I'm just curious. What I mean, are people on the ground responsive to that at all?
This is Scott. I'll take that question. I have not heard the comments to which you were talking about, but you know, obviously not. I mean, people. I have been. You know, I have stood in that Capitol at all hours of the day and night for the last 5 days on this incredible mobilization, and it has been a unified and directed message about the fact that we need to protect Wisconsin and these sort of, you know, these, you know, if you're talking about some things that you may see in the crowd, I think that it's infinitesimal. I appreciate what you're saying about the state senator, but I haven't heard that comment, so it's not, you know, for me to comment.
Okay, operator, I think we'll take the next question now.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Kevin Bogardis with The Hill newspaper.
Hi, guys. Thanks for doing the call. I just kind of had a quick question. Is this just happening in Wisconsin alone, or are you seeing this in other states as well, where governors are taking kind of a hard line towards public sector unions or labor rights, things of this ilk?
This is happening basically everywhere Republicans have power, in Ohio, Indiana, Idaho, Tennessee, Nebraska, Florida, Michigan, et cetera. The list goes on. The same basic dynamic is playing out. And Republicans are going after the basic right to collectively bargain in all of those states, and they're using the budget shortfall as a pretext. Collective bargaining is simply a negotiation on relatively equal footing between employees and employer. It has nothing to do – it's a process that can be used to get better benefits and wages. It's a process that can also be used to take concessions, which is what it's been used for years, to take concessions right now, because that's unfortunately what's needed oftentimes with tight budgets. But it has nothing to do with the actual problems. And so it is an orchestrated Republican campaign to scapegoat workers for and use – the state of the economy and the state of budgets to attack a political opponent. That's what's going on.
Okay.
Operator, next question.
As a reminder, in order to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from the line of Anthony Green with the Congresswoman Gwen Moore.
Pardon me. I didn't realize that the questions were for the media, so I will back off.
Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1 at this time. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster.
Can I add one more thing? I think that's important to give the context here. Governor Walker, for quite some time, has actually been threatening to call out the National Guard, to put the National Guard on alert in case of unrest. He is choosing to escalate and use almost military-like power to threaten and intimidate his political opponents. It's an unprecedented, or unfortunately not quite unprecedented, but a shocking use and abuse of power to attack at a political opponent. In the United States, we can't and shouldn't stand for this kind of abuse. You don't call out the National Guard to go after your political opponents.
Okay, operator, if there are any other questions?
There are no further questions.
Okay, great.
This is Scott. If I may jump in for just 1 second, please. I want to point something out. And Governor Walker, in his campaign for governor, promised $5 billion in tax shifts, tax cuts, and tax loopholes that benefit the wealthy and corporations, including a $1.63 billion plan to end the corporate income tax in Wisconsin. So when he talks about things like you know, things that are in this budget repair scheme, such as taking over the ability without full legislative consent of reducing Medicaid benefits for over 1 million Wisconsinites, it's in order to set up the idea to pay back the people who financed his campaign. And we cannot, I don't believe we can forget for a moment that this is part of the scheme, which is to pay back, you know, not just who Walker, you know, who the governor in our workers he feels that it is a that he feels they're his political enemies, the working people of Wisconsin. But he is also investing in his supporters through tax breaks that we all must pay for.
The last point on that, this is David. I'll just jump in. You know, Koch Industries is the single biggest contributor to Governor Walker. I think at $43,000 the last election cycle, and they are clearly behind much of this effort.
Okay, thanks so much, Scott. We appreciate you taking time out of your day to join us on this call. David, thank you so much for your insight on the national policy perspectives. If you have any questions, you were not able to ask, feel free to email me at msmith, that's M as in Megan, smith at AmericanProgressAction.org. And for more information on unions, workers, and what's going on in Wisconsin, log on to our website at www.AmericanProgressAction.org. Thank you again for your time.
Thank you. This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.